You know, I felt today that we should start praying for the sick. We hadn't prayed for the sick during the camp meeting, and I felt sure that we would start praying for them today. And this morning when Brother Cantrell was preaching, the anointing of God came down, and without telling anybody, he just came down and he started praying for the sick. People started responding, and I feel like the anointing of God is here to heal the sick. And that people will receive deliverance. You know, in every meeting, God brings a deliverance. See, the Spirit of God is in every meeting for the purpose to deliver the people. He wants to deliver the people. He will deliver you from demon spirits. You know, a lot of people need deliverance. Isn't that right? There's a lot of people in the church today that needs deliverance. They come to church with a regularity, but they still need deliverance. A lot of people drift off from the church because they get bound with evil spirits. And they can't break loose from those spirits. And they don't come in contact with the man of God so that he can get the spirit off of them. And so as a consequence of that, they drift off from the house of God. And sometimes they miss out on some wonderful things. It's like a person that gets sick. You know, you get sick. You go to the hospital, you're taken out of action for maybe a day, maybe a week, maybe a number of months. Sometimes the affliction can last for a long, long time. Sometimes it can be an indefinite thing. So then God wants to deliver His people. And in every meeting, the Spirit of God comes around that He might deliver the people. And I feel that God has come here in the camp meeting to deliver the people. Every camp meeting that we've had a wonderful camp meeting. And I feel that God wants to deliver the people. Now, during the camp meeting, I believe that we ought to have some revelation, don't you? Amen. The Bible tells us that when we come together that we should have a tongue. We should have a song. We should have a doctrine and we should have a revelation. All these things the Bible tells us to have. When we come together, let's have a revelation. Let's have a doctrine. Let's not be like some of those people that say, well, I don't believe in doctrine. Let's have a doctrine. The Bible said when you come together, have a doctrine. Let's have a doctrine and let it be a biblical doctrine. But let's also have a revelation. For the Bible said when you come together, have a revelation. Amen. So then let's come together and have a revelation. And let's move on in God and see God do great and marvelous things. All right. I want to read some from the book of Ezekiel, the 43rd chapter. The heading of this chapter, it says, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now, I wish tonight that I had time to preach to you. I really do. And you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? Well, it would take all night long. Amen. You know, Paul, when he preached to him, it took all night long to preach to him. At other times, he just exhorted him a little. And when a preacher really preaches to you, it just takes all night long to really get over a real good message. But in as much as we're not planning to be here all night, then I'll just have to do the best I can with the little fill-ins that we can drop in or time to time. I wish that you understood what is taking place at Little Bethlehem in this camp meeting. I feel reasonably sure that some of you are beginning to understand that this is no ordinary meeting. And that it's not just another gathering. But I believe that by now you have perceived that something is taking place that has never taken place before. And friend, I can assure you that it positively is. There is something that's happening that has never before in the history of mankind ever took place. And it's little wonder that Brother Billy should say what he did tonight. In that he said in this very meeting that one that's missing could come in and the doors could be closed. And the Lord knows I haven't talked to Billy about anything concerning this meeting. First time I've seen him in a long time. But I tell you something. According to what I understand, and you know that this is the truth because I've pointed to this meeting for a number of months now. This meeting has to do with the closing of the door to the Gentile church. And that's the truth, so help me God. It has to do with it. We spoke of it. We spoke of what it has to do with. And we spoke of a number of things that was in connection with it. So then, it has a definite meaning and a definite bearing on all of humanity across the world. So then, we need to really get down to business with God and try to understand what God is telling us. Because it is a very significant meeting. That is one reason why this is up here like this. That is one reason why that before the camp meeting, though we were really pressed for time, yet we went down into the areas of Manchester and had a meeting. Really, we didn't have time to go down there and have a meeting. We were really pressed for time, and we didn't have time to go have a tent meeting. But nevertheless, God said, go have the tent meeting. And when you go, he revealed to me that we would go down to the little White House, and there on the front porch of the little White House, that we would minister the gospel. You know that it came to pass just exactly that way. And though they said, we've never done this before, for a minister, we've never done this for a priest. Said the only ones we've ever done this for is presidents. There's been a couple of presidents that did this, Jimmy Carter and Kennedy. But said we're going to make an exception and let you stand here and preach the gospel. And so it was that we preached the gospel, and you know the strange things that took place as we stood there and preached the gospel. As a matter of fact, Brother Owens has got it on TV or on video where we stood there telling about the glories of God. So then, folks, there's something that's taking place. There's something great and outstanding that's taking place. I can't express it to you in few words, because it takes a long time. It takes taking your time and letting the Spirit of God come down. See, and the anointing of God to open your understanding and to begin to talk with you. And tonight we had quite a bit of singing because I felt like maybe that we just ought to praise the Lord a little bit tonight. Just love the Lord a little bit. We usually give way to the Word of God. Sometimes we don't have but one song, and then we give way to the Word of God. But I felt like since it was camp meeting, we have spiritual babes coming in that need the milk of the Word, and they need a lot of loving and care, and a lot of spiritual energy, you know, that they can get from singing and praising God and worshiping and being cuddled in the Spirit. And we just give way to the singing tonight in a special way to let them draw nigh to God. But we need to come into the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that we are to launch out into the deep. That we are to let down our nets to get something out of the deep. You know, the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. And what God is wanting us to do is to get out into the deep and get the deep things of God. We're going to need those deep things. Now you say, Brother Pike, where do you have scripture to prove that God wants us to get the deep things? Whereas the Bible speaks of the simplicity of the gospel. And I know that. You know, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin. I know that's a simple thing, and I'm glad that it is. But only the elect can see that. But when we think about what Christ said concerning the man that dug down deep and placed his house on a rock, then we know that God is wanting us to have the deep things. Isn't that right? He went way down deep, Brother Walker, so that he could put his house on a rock, so that when the winds begin to blow, they couldn't shake that house. And so then this is what we believe, that we should dig down deep and lay a foundation on a rock to where the winds cannot get it. Brother Branham used to use the term, he said, nail the board on good so the wind can't blow it off. All right, in the 43rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, I want to read just a little bit. Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Chebar. And I fell upon my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. You know, old brother Ezekiel was always having visions. The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Ezekiel was a man that walked in the Spirit of God, and he always was having visions. God was always revealing something to him. Here we find that he sees the vision. And the vision that he's looking at, he said, I beheld, and the glory of God, I saw it coming from the east, he said. I saw the glory of God as it began to move from the east. He said, I noticed that it was at the east gate. Now, you know, this vision agrees with God's word, doesn't it? Amen. That agrees with what the word of God tells us. Because the Bible teaches that that gate that has been sealed for so long, that gate will be open. Are you listening now? Something good's taking place. That gate that's been closed all of these years shall be open. It shall be open. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought. That gate that has been closed for so long, that eastern gate that has been shut up for so long, shall be open. It shall be open. It's been sealed up. But it shall be open. For the Bible says that Ezekiel looked and he saw the glory of God coming even toward the eastern gate. Now let's situate the thing just for a few minutes in our minds. You know, Jerusalem is the great city of God, the eternal city. Now, I know Rome refers to that city as being the eternal city, but it really isn't. But Jerusalem is really the eternal city. That's the one that shall live on and on. Mighty Jerusalem, that great city of God. You know, that beautiful city, if you've never been there and seen it, maybe you wouldn't understand what I'm saying. But that city has 8 gates. Majorly speaking. Now, I know it's got a number of gates more than that. But they give it at 8 gates. 3 of them are on the north. 1 of them is on the west. And 2 of them is on the east. And 1 or 2 of them is on the south. These gates represent something. They have about 34 towers around that wall, which is about 2.5 miles long. That is the last wall that the Turks built. Way back there in the 15th century, about 1542, I believe it is. About 1530, they sealed up the Golden Gate back there. But see, that Golden Gate has to do with the coming of the Lord. Amen. On that eastern side is what we call the Valley of Kidron. The Valley of Kidron, down across the little creek or the little branch or whatever you want to call it. The little creek Kidron. Jesus would go down from Jerusalem, go down across the brook Kidron, as they would refer to it, up into the Mount of Olivet. There into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus would go there and pray. And there, the Mount of Olivet, about 300 feet above Jerusalem, towering over Jerusalem about 300 feet. From there, you've got such a beautiful panoramic view that you can see all the way down to the Dead Sea. Over across the Kidron Valley, down through the valley over the brook, going up into the beautiful lofty place where the Lord Jesus Christ stood. It is believed to be the place of his ascension. For it is said that it is a Sabbath day's journey. The Bible speaks of a Sabbath day's journey from the place where he ascended when he told his apostles to go back there and wait and tarry till they be endued with power from on high. See, how do you understand what I'm saying? From that lofty peak of Mount Olivet, it is exactly one Sabbath day's journey back to the city. One Sabbath day's journey. There where he ascended up, there where he left and went away, there where he gave the great commission, saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And the Bible said, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. That great commission that Peter, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, so beautifully fulfilled when he set up the first church, Christ having given him the keys to the kingdom, set up the first church, and 3,000 people was added to the church. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. Now, old brother Ezekiel, way back here, long before the coming of Jesus, he looks out and he says, I see a vision. Oh, glory to God. He says, I see a vision. I look toward the eastern gate. He said, and I see the glory of God appearing. I see the glory of Christ coming toward that eastern gate. You say, Brother Pike, you say that agrees with the scripture. How does that agree with the scripture? Because Jesus said there, that angel, as he stood by, Jesus had told him to meet him in this particular place, appointed him the place. They had met him, and the angel that stood by said, you men of Galilee, why stand here gazing into the heaven? For the same Jesus that you have seen depart and go away shall come again in like manner. Isn't that right? And the Bible says that day that he shall set his feet upon the Mount of Olivet, he shall come down, he shall descend out of the heavens and come down and set his lovely feet, the nail prints, the nails that went into the feet, those feet that have the nail prints shall stand upon the Mount of Olivet just across the Kidron Valley. There Jesus will come down descending from heaven. There he will stand upon the Mount of Olivet in that great day. And you know, there's a lot of people that want to be buried along the Kidron Valley. They love to be buried over there because, according to the scripture, Christ is going to judge the nations from there. And they ask, you know, a lot of great dignitaries around the world, they'll have them to take their bodies there and bury them because they know that that's going to be the great place of judgment. See, right down at the end of it, over at the southern tip of it, is the Valley of Hinnom. Just over at the end of it down there, at what is called the Zion Gate and the Dung Gate. But over on this side that Ezekiel was looking at is where it is what we call the Stephen's Gate and the Golden Gate. And that Golden Gate is that beautiful eastern gate that the Bible speaks of Christ Jesus coming through. Hallelujah. One day Christ rode into there triumphantly on that little old ass. He rode into Jerusalem. There on that great day, Jesus rode in to that great city, and they spread the palm leaves in the way. And then that great gate was sealed unto the coming of the Almighty God. And Ezekiel here being in the Spirit. You know, I like that. Don't you like that? I like being in the Spirit. The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I like being in the Spirit. For if we walk in the Spirit as he is in the Spirit, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We sang that song, I'll walk in the light, the beautiful light shining upon me from heaven so bright. If we walk in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse us from all sin. Isn't that right? Oh, brother Ezekiel kept looking toward the east. Said, and I saw the glory. I saw the glory. You know, just to the left of the eastern gate, on the northern side, they have what they call the New Gate, then the Damascus Gate, and then the Herod Gate. Whereas on the western side, they have what they call the Jaffa Gate. The Jaffa Gate. You know, on the northern side, if you come out, the Damascus gate. You run into a road there, and this road goes off to what is called Shechem. How do you remember Shechem? I wish we had time to elaborate a little bit. I wish we had time to preach tonight. But anyway, if you come out the Herod gate, you go over and run into a road that goes this way to Samaria. But if you come out that eastern gate, come out this way, you run into a road going this way, going to Jericho. Hallelujah. How do you remember blind Bartimaeus? Glory to God. There is a glory of God that is to appear in that same place where God did those great and mighty miracles. That was between the walls of Jerusalem on the eastern side and that great place where he spent so much time in prayer called the Garden of Gethsemane. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they say there's about 8 major trees that's still left there. They believe that these trees, these olive trees, date back to the time of Jesus. They believe it's some of the same olive trees. You know, they say olive trees don't die. You cut them down, they'll just sprout out again. When Titus came in there, history says that he cut down all the trees around there. And if that be so, then it would be the sprouts. But whatever, they'd still be contemporary with Jesus. Those trees where Jesus spent the night in prayer. The stone says on Mount Olive, sacred ground, where Jesus spent the night in prayer. There again and again, praying and talking to the Heavenly Father, calling on the Heavenly Father, asking Him for strength. Many times in the dark hours of the night, or the wee hours of the morning, when all of Jerusalem was asleep, when there was no lights around, the dark night was upon him. Others were taking the rest. Not Jesus. Jesus was praying and crying out to God, asking God for strength to face the next day and to face the critics and to face the problems that he had to face. And then, of course, on that great night, just before that great crucifixion, that great trial that awaited Jesus, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat became as great drops of blood as he cried out and called upon God. He won the victory. He won the victory. We sang that song, for he hath rent the veil in two. That night before he went to Calvary, he wrestled until he got the victory. And the Bible tells us that he rent the veil in two. He conquered the flesh. He prayed all night through. He prayed. He called on the Heavenly Father. And the Bible said because he offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying, inasmuch as he did, he was heard. He was heard by the Eternal Spirit. And that great Eternal Spirit came down and got that lovely body that it prized so greatly. Oh, I wish tonight that you and I could be in the presence of God as he was. I wish that we could be. You say, Brother Pike, aren't we as Jesus? The Bible tells us tonight that as he is, so are we in him. Tonight we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Tonight, as he is precious in the sight of the Eternal Spirit, so am I precious because I am him tonight. And it is not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I live by the Son of God. But you know, what I'm saying is I wish that we could be as he, Brother Walker, to tarry all night long and cry and weep and pray until the great Holy Spirit would look down upon us and prize the body, knowing that it was dead from every human desire, every human infatuation, every desire, everything completely gone. And he could look as the angel did upon Daniel and say, oh, thou beloved man of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an opportunity you've got. Brother Billy said tonight, you are the greatest in the world because you've got the greatest opportunity. Never has a man had an opportunity or a woman has an opportunity like you've got now. There has never been one like that because the Bible said great men years ago have desired to see what you're seeing. Isn't that right?
That's right.
They've desired to see what you're seeing. So then as we look at Jerusalem, we see these beautiful things. On the side, the western side of Jaffa,
You find a little road coming out, you strike that little road, and it's not far over to Bethlehem. You can come out and go over to Bethlehem, but if you come out the other way, the way that Jesus come out, you can go down across the brook Kidron and go over to Bethany. You know, he'd go over to visit over with Lazarus and Mary and Martha. You know, Jesus was a man like I'm a man, isn't that right? He wanted friends just like I want friends. He wanted somebody to love, and somebody to love him. He still wants somebody to love him. Isn't that right? If Christ loved you the way that he loves you, why can't we love him? Oh, the Bible said Abraham was called the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. He didn't withhold anything from God, and he was called the friend of God. But I'm afraid that sometimes we don't sacrifice very much, folks. I'm afraid that we're not willing to sacrifice any of our time, any of our desire. We're not willing to sacrifice any of our ambitions, and we just find ourselves so unwilling to sacrifice to God. You know, but he wants a friend. He would love to have a friend. Wouldn't you like to be the friend of God tonight? Wouldn't you like for God to refer to you as he did Abraham, saying he's my friend? Oh, if God would look at me tonight and say, George, you're my friend, my cup would run over. My heart would all but explode if God would say, you're my friend, George. You're my friend. Hallelujah. Abraham was the friend of God in the earth. Oh, to be a friend of God, to be like Jesus. Brother Taylor sings the song, To Be Like Jesus. How wonderful it is to be like Jesus. But we see the wonderful thing here as Ezekiel beholds it. What is Ezekiel seeing? He said, and I saw the glory of God. See, the Spirit after which he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east, and behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someday he'll come down upon the Mount of Olivet. Someday, as you've seen him go, so shall he come again. Coming down upon the Mount of Olivet. Someday. I thought about that plaque that Atlee brought yesterday. Something was taking place. A lot of things don't get by my wife. She really scrutinizes and she really watches, because she knows something spiritual is taking place, and she knows God is a spirit, and she's watching the spiritual God of Jacob as he takes his stride in the earth. And immediately when that plaque come, the first thing she noticed was that coming of the Lord in the center of that plaque coming down on the Mount of Olivet. And she referred back to olive branch and some things that she remembered over there in what God was doing. You know, like the song we sang, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. We sing that song, look up, thy redemption draweth nigh. And we say, the heavens are shaking. Many are mistaken God's meaning to be of the sky. But God's church is the power that's shaking this hour. Hallelujah! That's the sky God's talking about. The writer caught a revelation. He saw something. Hallelujah! And the Lord shall suddenly return in his cloud of witnesses. And I shall suddenly return in my temple, the Bible said, to be glorified within my saints. Something is taking place. Something is taking place. And old brother Ezekiel looked and he said, and I saw the glory of God. And I saw the glory of God coming from the east. I beheld it coming from the east. Now, like I said, that so beautifully agrees with the scripture. I saw it coming from the east. I saw the glory of God descending, coming, or that is moving over from the east. Something is going to happen, folks. Along in that area, the last great battle will be fought. Along in that area, the last great battle will be fought, and the judgments of God will come. See, and I saw the glory of God coming from the east. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, if I could just see the glory of God. But the Bible said we are moved from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, hallelujah. From glory to glory, God is changing us into his wonderful image. Do you have eyes to see tonight? Do you have ears to hear tonight? Are we being changed into the glorious image of the Son of God? Is there something perhaps is taking place that we are not aware of? Oh, I believe tonight, as Brother Walker sang that song, Last Train, Last Train. I kept watching him. I thought, God, that's getting into his heart. And he said, last train, I saw it get into his heart a little more. And I thought, God, that's getting weighed down in his heart and soul. Brother Walker's being moved by that. He realizes the last train is coming by. You know, if you miss this train, you may never get another one. Oh, brother, let me tell you, if you miss this train, you won't never get another one. You won't never get another one. Hallelujah. Like Brother J.T. Parnell said, he said, I stood in the valley and I saw the waters, Brother Bill, as they went through the valley. He said, I was beholding and said, the waters went through the valley. And said, I saw many of the things missing as the waters went through the valley. And said, the voice spoke to me and said, it'll come again. Said, it'll come one more time. But said, after this time, it won't ever come anymore. And the ones that miss it that time, they'll never get in. So then, it's coming again now. The waters are running through the valley again. Something is beginning to happen again. Oh, I don't want to miss this to you. Lord, help me not to miss it. Help me to understand. Help me to get my understanding open to where I can tell what God is doing. Lord, don't let me miss this. Let me see. God, open my eyes and let me see. And the prophet stood there, and that little servant said, oh my. Oh my, we're in wretched circumstance and the enemy's going to swallow us up. All around us, everywhere. He said the alien powers are increasing. But that prophet sitting steady, standing there solid like a rock, had his eyes open in the spirit and he was looking. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And as he opened his eyes, as he looked, and he saw the mountain full of fiery chariots and prancing horses, waiting to take the church of the living God into that world of the great beyond. Hallelujah. He said, don't be afraid. They that are for us are more than they that are against us. Oh, you might not see it tonight. But friend, there are some prancing horses here tonight. Hallelujah. There are some prancing horses here tonight. There's some fiery chariots here tonight. Now you say, Brother Pike, don't get beside yourself now. Well, I can't help it. I'm already beside myself. Glory to God. Paul said, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for Christ. Amen. This thing wasn't done in a corner. Amen. Preachers get beside themselves because they can't help it. Something gets a hold of them. So then, those prancing horses, those fiery chariots was there. They're here tonight. The Bible said the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. The angel of the Lord is here tonight. The other night in men's meeting, while we was talking, we was just talking away, and talking about the revelation of God and the great things of God. And I turned to the right, and all of a sudden, I just kind of froze like that. And I saw something, and the brethren noticed that I saw it, and I just kind of froze up like that. And they said, What did you see? But see, the angel of the Lord is present around about them that fear God. See, the angel of the Lord, and Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So then the God of heaven and earth is here tonight. God came to visit with Abraham because Abraham was God's friend. Came to visit with Abraham and sat down under the oak of Mamre and talked with him there. Oh, how wonderful that was, sitting and talking with his friend. Don't that just thrill you? God said, I think I'll go down and talk with my friend. Hallelujah. I think I'll go down and talk with my friend Abraham. You know, one day God decided to go down and talk with his friend Adam, but Eve and Adam had betrayed him. You know it? You know it? They had betrayed him. I know the Bible said the man wasn't in the transgression, but in that the woman was, and he listened to her voice. He had to take the lash of the whip, didn't he? He had to take the expulsion from the garden. He had to be cut out of the presence of God. And when God went down there in the cool of the evening, he wanted to talk with his friends. But his friends had betrayed him. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, no, they wouldn't do that. But the Bible said when he comes back, they're going to say, where did you get the nails in your hand? He'll say, I got them in the house of my friends. This is what my friends thought of me. Oh, yes. But he came down under the oak of Mamre, and there he said, I think I'll visit with my friend. Hallelujah. God had a friend. And he came down and talked with his friend Abraham. If God ever comes over to your house, I hope he'll find a friendly welcome. I do. I hope he'll find a friendly welcome. You know, when he came to Jerusalem, they didn't give him a welcome. They run him out in a manger, and the only place that he could find for comfort was a manger. Oh, what a time. What a time Jesus had. He said, the birds of the air have nests. He said, and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Oh, said, come and see the place where the Son of Man lay. Hallelujah. We wrote that song, no place to pillow his head. You know, unless you give him a place in the earth tonight, he doesn't have any dwelling whatsoever. The Bible said God inhabits the praise of his people. And if you don't give him a little honor and praise and welcome, then he doesn't have any place at all. All right, let me say a few more things and we're going to close. Just exhort you a little tonight. But Ezekiel looked, and from the east he saw the glory of God coming. There it was. His heart was so thrilled. I saw in the vision the glory of God coming toward the eastern gate. Oh, beloved friend, I wish tonight I had time to explain to you. This camp meeting that we have entered into here has great significance. The letter that we got the other day from Elias over in Little Bethlehem, over in Jerusalem. You know, our literature goes out with a regularity over in Jerusalem, and our tapes are played with a regularity over in Little Bethlehem, over in Jerusalem. And we got a letter from Elias over there, and he was telling us how that God was blessing and how that things was perking up over there, how he was going to need a building because people was listening to the tapes and they wanted to hear the wonderful things that we was preaching over in Little Bethlehem, over in Jerusalem. You know what it is? It's something that is taking place. The God of Jacob, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham is beginning to move. There's something that's taking place around the world tonight. God is beginning to move in his church and in his people. And the days of the Gentiles are at an end. And God is fixing to close out everything, beloved friend. That's what is about to take place. All right, there's just so much more I'd like to say tonight. Just getting started with this wonderful thought of the vision coming to the eastern gate. But I want you to stand with me tonight. I hope tonight that if you haven't made preparations, if you haven't made preparations for your soul, if you haven't made preparations for your soul, if you've not done the things that's necessary, oh, I hope you'll get ready. I said the other night as I looked out over the congregation, I said, I hope nobody misses out. I hope there's not anybody here that is left behind. I sure hope that nobody will be left. I don't want to be left. Wouldn't it be so sad? You know, Brother Steve, he sings that song, I'll firmly promise you that I'll meet you by the river if you'll make me that promise too. And he sings another song that really thrills my heart. You know that they'll be looking for me. I hope he'll sing that tomorrow night for us. I know that they'll be looking for me. They'll be so disappointed if my face they don't see. So then, if you are not there, wouldn't we be so disappointed? After we've had the fellowship that we've had in the earth and seen you and knowed you and learned to love you, wouldn't we be so disappointed if we got over there on the hilltops of glory and we said, we start looking around and say, well, he isn't here. He just isn't here. Oh, they'll be so disappointed. So disappointed. Then they sang that song that they sang at my dad's funeral. I'd like to stroll over heaven with you. I'd like to stroll over heaven with you. Praise God. One day God will make everything new. And together we can stroll over heaven. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate your courtesy. I appreciate your time. And you'll just have to forgive me. I'm like the little Benny. I done the best I could. Let's sing the song, We'll Walk in the Light. Can we sing the song, Walk in the Light? I'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of
the world.
Can you sing it again? Can we raise it just a little and let's sing that again, can we? I'm hoarse, you can sing it.
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Sing it again.
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
We want to sing it again. As we sing it, I want you to gather around the altar tonight. If you're walking in the light, let's gather around the altar tonight. Let's make a dedication through this service. Let's ask God tonight to help us. Let's say, God, help me tonight. Give me strength tonight. Deliver me tonight, Jesus. Let's ask God to do something for us tonight. Can we?
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Just one more time.
We'll walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? The time is drawing near. The time is drawing near. The time is drawing near. Oh, what a day. What a time. What a time. Can we sing this little chorus? I'm longing for Jesus to come back.
I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King.
Can you sing it with me?
To come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
Sing it again.
For I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing.
One more time.
I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my King. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky. Up there, oh, angels shout and sing.
Ain't you longing for Jesus tonight? Ain't you longing for Jesus tonight? Don't you long for Jesus tonight? You know, you can just tell that He's close by. You can tell that He's close by. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? Just another touch, Lord, from you. Can we sing it? Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you to help me with the trials I go through. Sing it with me, will you? Though dark may be the night, I can see a ray of light when I feel another touch, Lord, from you. Don't you feel His touch tonight? Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that He touched me. Do you feel Jesus making you whole tonight? Oh, yes, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. For something has happened, and now I know that He touched me, and He made me whole.
You know, you think about those prancing horses and those fiery chariots, and I always think about this song. Can we sing it? Coming for to carry me home. Can we sing that song? And the prophet said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Everything's going to be all right. You know, like Brother Jack Coe said one time, that's just like a hole in his preacher. You know, Paul, right out in the middle of the night, Brother Billy, hadn't been in his stars for a long time, and no sun and no nothing, and the boat tossed to and fro. Everybody hungry, and 14 days of fasting. Nothing to eat, and everybody about to be killed. Paul said, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. You know, it takes the whole of this preacher to do that. Why, a Baptist preacher couldn't do that to save his life? I shouldn't have said that. We might have some Baptist folks here. But I thought we got Baptist preachers here too, so we can see it down here at Bethlehem. Amen. We got a Church of Christ preacher. Here's one filled with the Holy Ghost. A Baptist preacher filled with the Holy Ghost. Assembly of God preacher filled with the Holy Ghost. Church of God preacher filled with the Holy Ghost. See, we can afford to see it here at Bethlehem. Amen. All right, let's sing that song, can we? Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming to carry me home. It was a band of angels coming after me, coming to carry me home. Swing low, oh, sweet chariot, coming to carry me home. Swing low,
chariot coming to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming to carry me home, tell all of my friends that I'm coming to, coming to carry me home. Swing low, the chariot coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot coming to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot coming to carry me home.
Now let's sing this little chorus. You know we sing this little chorus so often. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Now you say, what do you mean by that? I said a little earlier, when you say everybody ought to know and everybody ought to tell, everybody ought to know that He is the wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Isn't that right? Everybody ought to know that. Everybody ought to tell that. Isn't that right? If you will, then you'll be telling who Jesus is. So let's sing that song together, will you? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Oh, He's the lily of my valley, and He's the bright and morning star, and He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For He's the lily of the valley, and He's the bright morning star, and He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to tell. Do you know who Jesus is tonight? Can you tell who Jesus is? The only way you can know who Jesus is by doing this. Come on, brother, let's make 100, 'cause 99 and a half won't do. Oh, come on, sister, let's make 100, 'cause 99 and a half won't do. Oh, Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, He spoke to the blind, and the blind could see. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. Well, He spoke to the blind, and the blind could see. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. Oh, come on, brother, let's make 100, 'cause 99 and a half
Come on, sister, let's make 100 of 99, and a half won't do. They put Paul in the Roman jail, and he didn't have no one to go his bail. But when the Lord got ready, he had to move, he had to move, he had to move. You've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. Oh, when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move, you've got to move, you've got to move. Oh, come on, brother, let's make 100, 'cause 99 and a half won't do. Oh, come on, sister, let's make 100, oh, 99 and a half won't do. Oh, Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man my Jesus is. Oh, Ananias, oh, Ananias, tell me what kind of man Jesus is. Well, he spoke to the lame could walk. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. And he spoke to the dumb, and the dumb could talk. That's the kind of a man Jesus is. Come on, sister, let's make 100, 'cause 99 and a half won't do. Oh, come on, brother, let's make 100, 'cause 99 and a half won't do. You love Jesus tonight? It's so wonderful to be a Christian. It is so wonderful to be a Christian. The glory of God, Ezekiel looked, and through the eastern gate there came the glory of God, and the glory of God filled the temple. It filled the temple. You know, there's a lot that could be said about that tonight. Little Bethlehem has to do with the temple. And like Brother J.T. Parnell said, I refer back to it so much. He said, Brother Pike, I had a vision. In this vision, I looked, he said, and I saw the Ark of the Covenant. And said, Brother Pike, as far as I could tell, it was in the building at Little Bethlehem. And then somebody the other night, Brother Hollis's niece, I believe it was, had a vision. And she said, in the vision, she looked, and the Ark of the Covenant was in our house. Isn't that wonderful? How do you believe we got the Ark of the Covenant in here? Hallelujah! What a thought tonight that we got God's Spirit tonight. As I've covenanted with you, my Spirit remaineth among you. What a wonderful, wonderful thought. Hallelujah.